Could we just close our eyes for a moment? Father, we're learning loud and clear that if we give mercy, that the ruling parts of the soul may not be comfortable and may not like it. But the Holy Spirit can use all things to give us insight as to why certain things happen a certain way. I want to give you the praise, Lord, that your works and your healing continues in every heart that's here tonight. And Lord, when we see ourselves and we see the purpose of your plan versus trying to fix everything for someone else, but trusting that your Holy Spirit will counsel and comfort us and keep us where we need to be and the reason for it, in Jesus' name. I want to take you to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3.
Philippians is with the P or the F?
With a P. P-H-I-L.
The New Testament, right?
Yeah, New Testament. Philippians chapter 3. In the NIV, it says, no confidence in the flesh. And it starts with verse 1. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same thing to you again and again. And it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh. You know, I remember reading this for the first time, saying, oh my God, if there's no confidence in my flesh, then I better give up and park. Maybe take a trip home right away, you know, because that's all I know. And when you first begin your walk with God, you are going to put confidence in your flesh. And your communication with the Lord is going to be very limited. But St. Paul is saying that there's some that are not understanding the things of the Spirit, but he's trying to make them aware. Verse 4 says, though I myself have reason for such confidence, if anyone else thinks he has reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Why? Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. Now he's going to give us his background. A Hebrew of Hebrews, in regards to the law, a Pharisee, which means an extremist, very critical and very fault-finding. They all had to be under the law of every little degree. As for zeal, persecuting the church, as for legalistic righteousness, faultless. Did you get that? For legalistic righteousness, he was faultless. Meaning he had every little bit of the law and he followed it to extremes. But whatever was to my profit, I consider loss. Wow. So in other words, all his works programs he now looks at a loss. For the sake of Christ, for the sake of the anointing. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus. Wow. Try that on again. Whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of the anointing. Because the word Christ means anointing. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having righteousness of my own that comes from the law. There's your criticalness. A person who's in criticalness only looks at what he or she is doing in perfection, and that's where Paul lived. He was a perfectionist on every detail of his life, and he was faultless in his own eyes. Did you ever walk that walk? Yeah. Us religious folks. We had rules for everything. But now he's saying, verse 9, be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. So, are you righteous because of your holy works, from all the things that you should or should not do? Or are you righteous by faith in what Jesus already paid for you? You're righteous by faith. That's the truth. Verse 10. I want you to know Christ. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. And the fellowship of sharing in his suffering. Becoming like him in his death. And so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Now, I used to think that was from the dead in a ground or buried situation. But he's really saying a resurrection from my works program. A resurrection of what I thought I was doing to be accepted and loved by God and for God. So now he's able to say my dead thinking is what? Being hampered. Being changed. Yes. Becoming like him in his death, and to somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Dead works. Dead attitudes, dead criticalness, because that's what it does. It puts people down. And when you just quietly listen to whatever their problem is, when you go home and you go before the Lord, you can pick up things that you now can receive from the Lord as you have shared in your communication. You know, when there's a crisis, don't panic. You've got a counselor. His name is Holy Spirit. You can ask the Lord, Holy Spirit, I need help right now. I'm in trouble. I don't want to react. I could, but I probably would make a bigger mess. So again, recognizing that the anointing on you and I will come to you when you ask for help. And the help is available. And you've heard the testimony of making an irritation into a miracle and it may be a possibility of a future follower of the Lord. Because you didn't irritate. You gave him a cup of candy. Awesome. He gave back M&Ms. That's awesome too.
I was just thinking about that.
Yeah. See, not doing in a reaction way can change your day. That's what you just shared. Not reacting, not getting anxious, not getting upset. Whoa! What am I doing getting upset? What good is it going to do? How many days am I going to be in Panicsville? Okay, I mean, maybe I should break out my Bible and check the book of Philippians and find out what to do. Okay? The book of Philippians is probably the best medicine for people who are anxious all the time. And there's a recipe to come out of the problem. Amen?
Amen.
I want you to just park this for a minute. I had a dream the night before. The kind of dream that I've never had. And I'm just going to synopsize it. But it was very strange. In the dream, Irene and I are crossing a bridge, and it's very small, narrow bridge, and somehow she's pushing a wheelbarrow, or at least a wagon of some kind, but my focus is on the wheel. And it's a good size wheel, so it's showing me all the boards that are old, and they're all different sizes, and they're almost like little nails holding them in place, and I can see the river below, and it's just not, it's not comfy, but I'm doing it. I'm not happy about it, but I'm walking. And we go across the river and we come back, but we go back afterwards, but this time we've got food. And it's like in a duffel bag, which is weird. You don't put food in a duffel bag, but there was food in it. So now it changes scenes, and I've got this hunk of meat. I mean, a big chunk of meat. And I'm thinking, what in the world am I going to do with this? So in the dream, I'm slicing a big slice off of it. And you got to remember, my father was a butcher, so, you know, I'm familiar with what you do. My brother owned a slaughterhouse. I know what to do. So I sliced a great big slice, and for some odd reason, it reminded me of frozen hamburger. And it's still partially frozen, so it's got some, you know.
Capers between?
Yeah, it's got some weight, but at the same time, it's firm. And so I put the rest of the food back in the bag, and Irene takes off and comes back, and she says, gee, I got money for this. And I thought, well, that was kind of strange. So here's the strangest part. Now I am making two small patties for the kids, the two little ones, 6 and 7 years old. And then I'm making a bigger patty for both of us. But I don't get to cook it. And I wake up. I wake up, and as weird as this sounds, I don't have a pillow. My pillow is gone. My head is on the mattress. And I said, where's my pillow? So I look around, and my pillow's on top of my wife's body next to me. And she's sound asleep, never woke up. And now I'm laughing my head off because that's my duffel bag. Oh, Lord, this is so unbelievable. I can't even believe that I did this in my sleep. I must have shoved
oh, my goodness.
And taken the meat out of the duffel bag. I mean, you know, I'm laughing all by myself. I said, Lord, and I heard, write it down.
Yep.
Okay? So I get up, and I don't wake her up. I go in the family room, and I write down the dream. As I'm writing the dream, you know the prayer that we recite?
Right.
Did you get the word? Okay, it came right away. And soon as my people see the almonds, they will come to eat. Father, we thank you for the release of the greater meat.
Amen.
I said, oh my God, I'm getting the greater meat. This is great.
That's right.
In a dream. But the funniest part is when I told my wife about this, she says, I never woke up. I said, well, there was my pillow parked on your body, and you were sound asleep. See, everything that happens can awaken you to the bigger pieces that he wants to download to you. The greater meat is to recognize that God is able to take what's happening to you and to turn it into something miraculous. Yes?
Yes.
And you don't have to panic.
Amen.
You can panic if you want, but that's not a godly angel on that throne. Because you'll be looking at yourself and saying, oh, that was stupid. Look at the results. You could have got angry and got on the phone and said, yeah, 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 and put a note on their door and never make a noise again. You could have said, my God, I wasted tea. And I wasted that donut, but instead you celebrated Holy Communion. That's what you did, and you obeyed. That's the bottom line. $8 is pretty cheap to get your car fixed.
It's great.
But it's also number 8. It's a new beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So you're aware that now your expectations of someone coming to your rescue can be adjusted, because the one who rescued you was in you. He really was.
The old way is always, you know, who can I call?
Yeah.
And now it's just relax.
Yeah.
Remember, relax, be still.
Yeah. And no.
Stop struggling.
Yeah.
And that, those were the
And
words.
You stopped dancing too.
And I could hear you saying, well, when you stop dancing, that's what the box was doing.
Yeah.
To try to get me to get involved.
Frustrated.
And it was making, and when we go that way, Kim, in line with that, when we go that way and we allow each of those thoughts that come in and we say, yeah, 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 and you get in agreement with all of that, then the confusion comes in.
Yeah.
Then you're so riled up, which he just loves, you're so riled up that it takes a long time for you to calm down. It takes, you know, it's easier to listen to the voice that says, peace, relax. It's not the
rest.
End of the world. Just calm down, stay still, don't panic, like, you know.
Yeah.
But that's a work in process, progress going on in the work in process.
Yep.
That's easier said than done.
But it's getting better.
It is getting better, yes.
Now go to verse 12. Pressing on towards the goal. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect. So he knows he's a work in progress.
Thank you.
Amen?
Yes.
Say, so am I.
So am I.
Repeat that with me. Not that I have already obtained
all of this.
Or have already been made perfect. But I press on. To take hold.
Of that which is Christ Jesus.
Took hold of me. Ah.
Mm-hmm.
Ah. When I listen, and he takes hold of me, he stops me from being stupid or reactionary or angry or bitter or wanting to punch somebody's eyeballs out.
Amen.
That's a good thing that God does to people like that.
Yeah. So, verse 13. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. Mm-hmm. I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So where are we going? We're going towards the heavenlies. We're constantly going forward. It may not be comfortable. You may have a few stopovers here and there. You may have a few crashes. But you know what? You don't need to stay in the broken place. Okay? I'm going to repeat 14 again. I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Okay. Philippians 3:15 is probably one of the scriptures that I've used for years to awaken people when they don't have an agreement. One's got one opinion, another one's got another opinion, and they're looking to find God's opinion. There are times when you will have two different opinions, two beautiful brothers or sisters, or brother and sister, depending on what's going on. And the scripture says God will make things clear. Why? Because he wants to download something inside of us to awaken us that maybe the other person could be adjusted. Maybe you need to be adjusted. You need to be teachable. I need to be teachable. I don't have all the answers. I know the one who does, but I don't. If I put across a superior attitude to those that are around me, how long are they going to be my friend? Yeah. Sometimes the wisest thing you can do is shut your mouth.
Amen.
And it's not comfortable because we all are opinionated. Because we've got a background in the law that says do this and then. Or do that and I'll correct you. I'll help you to correct yourself. No thanks. See, God can correct your husband, your wife, your child, your friend, your buddy, your enemy, if you let him. If you just get off the throne. See, captivating the thrones of my soul has been a quest for quite a while. And learning to let go, learning to take the opinion of the Holy Spirit rather than my own, has changed some areas. Am I at the victory yet? I would love to say I'm already there. But that would really be an act of faith. Because sometimes I see my reactions. And the other day, my little grandson was with me and he's opinionated. Very smart. But like I told you earlier, he's all done school. That's not going to happen anymore, he said. So I'm trying to awaken him. So we go for a walk, and we see the street sign, and I said, you see, you can't read, Matt. If you could read, you could tell Pepe what, you know, the street name is. Ah, I don't need that. So then we got to the house and I said, well, you know, what are you going to be doing? I said, you don't know how to read, because I was studying and he was telling me I'm wasting my time. I said, well, what kind of a job are you going to do? Oh, I got all the solutions. And he's going to be a warrior, you see. And he's got all these guns and he named them all by name. Okay? And of course, one of them is a pellet gun, and another one is this, and another one is that. I said, well, how are you going to identify which gun is which when it's time for you to, you know, learn how to read which one? If you want to order bullets or anything like that, you're going to have to learn how to write it down, how to order it. Oh. I said, so, you know, reading and writing would be a good thing, right? Nope, I ain't got time for that, he said. So he's already got all the opinions, and I'm thinking of, you know, he's already perfect. I myself, okay, and he's already perfect. St. Paul was perfect. Matthew's perfect. I mean, that's pretty good company, right?
Yes.
But Paul took a darn good crash when he landed to be blind. Mm-hmm. So is my little boy going to have to be blinded by the Lord in order to awaken? I pray not. But the bottom line is, God can get through to these people that have got all the answers. He does know how. Amen?
Amen.
16. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For, as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their minds is on earthly things. Out. Should my mind be on earthly things all the time?
No. It should be above.
Yeah, it should
I
be.
A sign.
Because
yeah.
Last night on YouTube, I was listening to it.
All right.
Something that I was always thinking about.
Their minds are on earthly things. 20. But our citizenship is in heaven. Oh. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control. That includes my soul. Yeah, my mind, my will, and my emotions are what make up my soul. So when my mind and my emotions and my will are under Jesus' Holy Spirit's control, what's going to happen? What's going to be my experience?
Peace.
Watch again. 21. Who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. That is a transformation of who you are. So when your soul is under his control, your body is going to have a transformation. Are you ready? Like you'll be able to walk on water. Like you'll be transported like Ezekiel. You'll be able to raise the dead because there will be no death in you. My God, it's quiet in here. Did you hear how quiet it is? Did you notice there's not a sound? Why? Because I'm poking at you. And I'm prodding you. Don't be satisfied with the world that you're living in. Don't be satisfied with earthly things. If God wants to transform us, how in the world is COVID going to conquer you? If you're walking on water like Jesus did, do you think COVID could knock him over?
Impossible.
Why?
Because he
Why? Think about what God has done for you and what he's done for me. And what does he want us to live by? Being transformed in our minds from the old mindset to the Holy Ghost mindset. Amen. To think like Jesus, act like Jesus, react like Jesus. He goes to a funeral and the mama's bawling her eyes out because she lost her only son. Does he leave him dead? Oh, wow. Did he have a bright moment? You see, we've been taught religiously, if I'm a good baby, if I'm a good young adult, if I'm a good adult, then I might get to heaven. If I put all my dots on the right places and everybody's happy with me and everybody looks at me like if I'm a saint. That's my background. And I struggled, and I struggled, and I struggled. Wasted energy, no different than Paul. Oh, Lord. Just pray the Spirit right now, because I don't know if this is going to be going into that direction or not. Father, I just submit this to you. You know, when God takes you and me and he allows us to be born in a certain family with certain backgrounds and certain challenges, there was a season in my life that I hated what happened for me. And I know some of you can relate, because you would have liked to switch and get a different mother and maybe a different father, or both. But when you perform and you have talents and you develop those talents, acceptance starts to come your way, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking about the girls and the boys of 13, 15, 17, 19, 20, and they start having their own lifestyle. They live their own way and they act and react in what they perceive to be right or godly. And in the religious system, they follow all the rules, which was St. Paul. I followed all the rules as well. I was multi-talented, so obviously those talents came out. I was able to do things correctly. I was able to dress correctly. I went out with the girl that God allowed me to connect with when I was 16. And she had already graduated from high school, but she was also voted the best dressed girl in the school. So she was talented too. And of course, that made an upgrade for me. Mm-hmm. All right? Every kid wants to have the right woman in his life. Amen?
Yes.
All right. And every woman wants the best man that she can get in her life.
Amen.
Oh, my God, you guys are weak.
Amen.
All right. Now we got one that's speaking up. Think about this. So now you've got the right combination, the right couple with all of the attributes all lined up like ducks on a pond, right? Mm-hmm. All right. The first, second, third crash comes and you survive, and everybody loves to celebrate that you've survived. That was a part of my life. The Lord was showing me some of this the other day, because my wife and I talked about some of the different things that we've got. A new teenager now that's really excited about a young man. So that's Gabriella. And so I won't go into the details because I'll get in trouble. But the bottom line that I'm thinking about is what she's going through is a challenge. And I already warned her that there could be a crash down the road. But not every girl wants to hear that there might be a crash. And not every boy wants to hear that there might be a crash. Well, there was a crash in my wife and I after we had been going out for about a year and a half. Something happened. And I won't go into details. But we broke up. So every gift that I had given her went in the trash. Her grandmother, who was 80 years old, went to the trash and picked out all the items and hid them in a bag. Because she had already chosen me as her future. All right? So I'm laughing because we're talking about these things. And, you know, she says, my grandmother loved me so much. I said, yeah, she sure did. She picked up every item I gave you and saved it for you. And she said, yes, I know. But she said, I was so mad at you. And I said, okay, I was mad at you too. But I said, well, you know, at the time, I'm actually not, just barely 18. And, you know, I had a lot of challenges going on. And so the life we went forward with, we went forward to make sure that everybody in our family was happy. And part of that breakup came because of that. Trying to make other people
happy.
Oh, did you ever look at that throne?
No.
Yes.
Is it a godly throne?
No.
No.
Oh, is there a beast sitting on that throne?
Yes.
Yeah. Trying to satisfy everyone else's demands. Or commands will get you into such depression, and you'll try to make things happen to please people. That is not your citizenship. Your citizenship is in heaven with the Lord. Who are you trying to please? Him.
Yes, every day.
Every day. So, rehearsing what happened to my wife and I, there was a healing, and it did happen. And of course, then her grandmother brought back all her gifts that she had kept for her. This grandmother was almost 60 years old when Irene was born, and her mother died. She was only 2 weeks old. So the grandmother was really her mom, along with one of her aunts. And the day before my wife and I were being married, her grandmother went out on the front porch, washed the front porch on her hands and knees, and down the sidewalk up to where the car would be parked so that my wife's gown would not get dirty. At 80 years old, she did that. You know,
labor of love.
That kind of dedication was extremely rare in my eyes.
Amen.
Okay? It shows the servant's heart, but it also showed something different. A throne that was struggling to be accepted even at that age. And that's scary, because you see, it wasn't that it was such a bad thing. It just showed the extreme of pushing herself to do something to that degree. And out of love, she did that. But you look at it from God's perspective, and there could have been a trust that God would protect the dress to get her to the church on time and a clean dress, you know. So again, You do what you know. Your people that were in your background, they did what they could and did for you what they could. But the limitations are all over the place. So I'm giving you an extreme situation, but I'm also showing you what was on that throne. And you can see, oh my God, was it really love? Or was it a form of bondage? It might have been both. I don't know. I'm not going to say that I know. But I do know this. What I'm saying to you is St. Paul was saying, your citizenship is in heaven. Verse 19. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their minds is on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. I don't want you in slavery. I want you in freedom. I want you in full account to the Holy Ghost. And if you see a corner in your soul that's not of God, he's available to clean it up. The scriptures you're going to need, he will supply. And you use them until you get cleaned up. Did you get a chunk of meat tonight?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Juicy, I pray. Close your eyes. I want you to put your right hand in the back of your neck, at the base of your head. Say, Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit.
I know you are resident in me.
And
I see that my mind
and
my emotions
and
even my feelings
could be tweaked a little.
And if the thrones are off center
and
there's a few beasts around,
help me to discover
the scripture that will put them out of business.
And wash my whole soul
to be cleansed over and over until the presence of the Holy Spirit
can give me a strategy for victory
so that my soul will be filled with your Spirit.
And the nature of my Father
will occupy every throne.
That's my future.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise you, Jesus.
Glory to you, Jesus. You are the Lord.
You are the King.
And you will be
in full control.
And I will be
like the firstborn son.
And there will be a resurrection
inside of me.
Hallelujah.
I give you praise, Lord.
I give you praise.
And I'm not quitting
until it is well done.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise you.